Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Keeping It Real. I'm your host, Emily. I'm here with my co-host, Bailey, and we're here to bring you another exciting episode featuring inspiring Métis youth from across our homeland. To start off with today, we thought that we would start something new and share one thing that we're grateful for during this global pandemic. Personally, I am grateful for this extra time I get to spend with my family. Because we're working from home right now, I've been able to move home and spend some more time with my mom and dad and my brother and FaceTime my family a little bit more. So yeah, really grateful for this time to reconnect. Bailey, what are you grateful for this week?
I would say I'm really grateful for my pets. So I have an old cat, Lily, who I've had for a few years. And I also have a new puppy named Charlie. I adopted him right at the beginning of this whole pandemic. And it's been really great to have a sense of routine and normalcy, taking him for walks, playing with him. So I've been really grateful for that.
And her puppy is the cutest of all time. So rightfully so, you should be grateful for him.
I would have to agree.
I am also grateful for the three guests that we will be bringing on today. I think that these are really inspiring youth from across our homeland, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with them. So Bailey, could you give a little bit of an introduction to the three youth that we'll be bringing on today?
Sure. Okay, so today we have a panel of youth from across the homeland for our second episode. So we thought it would be a really good idea to bring youth together who are all in positions within their respective governments, within the youth councils, to talk about Métis youth governance and what they see for the future of our Métis nations. So our first guest on the panel is Mitch Case. So Mitch is the outgoing president of the Métis Nation of Ontario Youth Council. He's wrapping up his second and final term. He's a passionate advocate for Métis rights. He's an avid beater and a proud uncle. And if you haven't checked out his beadwork, I would highly recommend it. He does some amazing work. We also have Cassidy Karen. She is a Métis woman with roots in the historic Métis communities of Batoche and St. Louis, Saskatchewan. She grew up in BC, closely connected to her Métis traditions and heritage, and she is driven by her family and community values of respect, honesty, and responsibility. Cassidy is a provincially elected representative of the MNBC. She serves as the provincial Métis Youth Chair and MNBC's Minister Responsible for Youth. Last but not least on the panel is Alberta's representative and the chair of the Provisional Youth Council, Brett Cherno. He resides in Calgary, Alberta, so that's Region 3 of the Métis Nation of Alberta. He's newly elected to his position as chair, but has been on the Provisional Youth Council since its inception. So I would just like to welcome these three guests. It's very exciting to have them on. We really wanted this opportunity to talk to them about Métis governance and the role that youth play within governance and their thoughts for the future.
Thank you so much, Bailey. I am so excited to talk to these three youth today. So I'm just going to give them a quick call here and link them into our chat so that we can ask them some questions. All right, so we're here with our three youth, Mitch, Brett, and Cassidy. So we'll just go around and get everyone to give a little bit of an introduction to further expand on their roles in the Métis Nation. And yeah, we'll start with you, Mitch.
Oh, okay. My name is Mitch. I'm president of the Métis Nation of Ontario Youth Council, and I'm literally counting down the days to the end of my second term. The chief electoral officer extended the deadline by a month, so I gained another 30 days in my term. So we're coming down to the end of my second term as president of MNOYC and the youth representative on the Provisional Council of Métis Nation of Ontario. So I work with our youth reps that are elected across the province and community council youth reps that are elected in their communities, and sort of bring together the voice of Métis youth in Ontario, whether they're from historic Métis communities in Ontario or from communities in Western Canada who are now living in Ontario. And yeah, I like to bead.
Yeah, we already hyped up your beadwork.
Oh, okay.
yeah, and we'll just move along to Cassidy, if you want to go ahead.
Great. Tansaid Kiowau. Hi, everyone. My name is Cassidy Karen. I'm the Provincial Youth Chairperson and Minister Responsible for Youth for Métis Nation British Columbia. And I, too, am counting down. Well, I've got a few months left in my term, but I've been elected for 4 years with Métis Nation British Columbia, and my term comes to an end in September, and it's been a wonderful experience, and thank you for having us on this podcast today.
Yeah, we're excited to have you all, and we'll just finish off with Brett here if you want to give a quick intro.
Sure. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here with everybody else. I am the chair of the Provisional Youth Council for the Métis Nation of Alberta. We were enacted to get up and running a more established provincial youth council that will eventually be a voted in a similar fashion to BC's and Ontario's. And that's what we're working towards right now. And the only cool Métis thing I do is I do actually make a lot of bannock.
Do you?
Have you been
busy doing that during quarantine?
I have, but the only thing I can find is cake flour. Like, I haven't been able to find, like, normal all-purpose flour. So it's been, like, weird and, like, fluffy and, like, very much like a scone, not like a normal bannock.
Ah, interesting. do you want to go ahead with the next question, Bailey?
Yeah, so I guess you guys have talked a little bit about what you do within the nation and things like that. So moving forward, there's all this talk about youth or future and all that kind of things, but I mean, youth aren't just the future, like youth are present, they're in government right now. So what do you think the role of youth within the governance structures is currently? And what do you see for the future in that regard? And like in that, like, what is the importance of having a youth council, like specifically for youth to like learn governance and learn leadership and things like that?
I could say one point, because I was just recently discussing this with the other people on the Alberta Youth Council, is that I think one of the main things is about educating the youth about how this process works and what it's like, and that your voice and opinion does actually matter, and what you want as an issue can be enacted out in a governance level, right? So like, if you see something that you think could be fixed, that is actually a possibility for you. So it's kind of an empowerment, self-actualization type thing on a community scale.
Yeah, I agree too. I didn't know the Youth Council existed until I started this job. And then all of this stuff with the AGA and trying to create the changes we make through ordinary resolutions. And I was like, this is so cool. I wish I was involved with this when I was in university. Actually put forward things that actually get talked about and accepted and influence like the greater thinking.
Yeah. Well, even for example, like you said, even with having the 6 regional youth coordinators, that was one of the first resolutions we had wrote together as a youth council. Cause we were like, hey, there's this money to be able to afford an employee. We need help establishing youth groups within the community anyways. Like, why couldn't there be that? And so, yeah, that's a really great example to show people like you do have power to change things.
Mm-hmm. Living proof.
Yeah.
Building a little bit on what Brett said too, and what our council has been doing in the last 4 years is really working on raising that awareness for the opportunities for young people to be involved in governance. So I'd say like one of our successes is that we have raised, and actually I wouldn't say that we've raised the interest of youth in governance, but more so the interest has always been there. And what we've done is work towards removing barriers and creating opportunities for young people to be involved in leadership roles in all levels of Métis governance. And I'm sure Mitch can build on this a little bit too, but there's always been young people involved in Métis Nation governance. And there's a role for young people in all aspects of Métis governance. Like the decisions that are all being made today, there's a lot happening. Things that are going to have immediate impacts for our Métis families. But ultimately, it's our young people who are going to see these changes in the generations to come. So it's really important that young people are involved in the decisions that are being made. And like I say, the Métis Nation has always been inclusive of young leaders, and we just really need to continue to honor that value.
I think people forget that even in like the 17, 1800s, leaders were in their 20s. It wasn't often that there was like a 40 or 50 year old person leading the charge. It was usually, you know, Riel was like 25 kind of thing, and Cuthbert Grant was like 22. So I think that's lost a little bit today.
The Red River Rebellion was when I'm pretty sure he was 28. So that's the age I am now. Like it's kind of odd to think about, really.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mitch, do you have any thoughts?
Oh, I've got some. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that there's a lot of folks that sadly have lost sight of that, I think. And some of it is just politically expedient, right? That they've just forgotten that, you know, that they used to make speeches about how young people needed to be involved when they were young people. And now they're not making those speeches anymore. And there's a whole lot of, you know, youth should be seen and not heard that I think has infected the Métis Nation. And we just need to confront that head on and call it out and deal with it. Right. And I very rarely ever see that kind of attitude though from our elders or knowledge keepers though, right? Like they've always got our back, from at least from my experience, right? And it's sort of they've got our back. And then there's, you know, another political class that have decided that youth should be seen and not heard. And I think we have to confront that. We have to deal with that. And the way that we, you know, in the M&O Youth Council, we've been lucky. Like M&O as a structure is a lot younger than, say, like Métis Nation of Alberta, right? Our communities are just as old, but the Métis Nation of Ontario as a legal structure is 26, 27 years old. And, you know, before that, we were in these other organizations that were not serving our needs as communities. But throughout our history, you know, we've had, you know, from President Belcourt to President Lipinski to President Froh, there has been a consistent desire to have young people at the table and have that actually be meaningful. So we've had, like, we've always had a willing partner on the other side. But the way that we particularly, you know, one of the things that I set out to do was, you know, people need to understand that all issues are youth issues. I don't think that there's such a thing as like, oh, that's youth stuff over there, and that doesn't affect anything else, right? And I think, you know, one of the key issues is, you know, housing. If you don't have housing, then how can you be expected to do well in school? How can you be expected to, you know, all the expectations that are put on young people? If we don't have adequate programs and care for our seniors, then, you know, that often falls on younger people to either be taking time away from school or, you know, not enrolling in the first place because they have other responsibilities, right? And so every issue, I think, is a youth issue. And I think we just, you know, that's the way that we've approached that, right? Is that when our communities do better, so do our young people, right? And so that's sort of how we've approached it.
Mm-hmm. And I think the value of having youth councils right now is really to create that awareness that Mitch was just talking about and to continue seeking out the ways and creating those spaces for our young Métis leaders to really almost reclaim that space as young people and show people that there is a place for young people in the Métis Nation.
I absolutely agree. I think it's really cool getting to see like the empowerment and like youth and seniors gathering was really huge for me, getting to see all those youth that are just interested in being involved, because growing up, I didn't really know that there was a lot of opportunity to be involved or even other interests. So I thought that was really cool at Youth and Seniors. And so just to kind of build off this, what are some, Brett and I kind of talked about it a little bit earlier with the AGA and like how we got hired, but what are some of the greatest accomplishments that you've seen from youth within your own communities or that you've experienced or been a part of?
I think for us in British Columbia, like I say, it's been raising that awareness of the opportunities for young people to be involved. I think there's been a time where young people believe that rhetoric that Mitch was talking about, like be seen but not heard, and we're really doing away with that. So one of the greatest accomplishments is really showing young people that they have a place in the Métis Nation. I mean, when I was elected, there was always vacancies on our youth council, but we really just needed to get the awareness out there about what the youth council is, who we are, what we do, how to become involved. And then really quickly, there was a lot of interest in those positions. And then because of that, and we don't want to limit the opportunities to young people, it's just been really working to create more opportunities and find those areas that young people are really passionate about. Governance as a whole might be a little bit intimidating to some people, but our young people are brilliant. They're more educated than ever. We have so many young Métis people who are experts in health, education, economic development. So it's really creating those spaces for them to come in and be a leader in their own field. So we've been working to really remove those barriers and create those opportunities. And in the last 4 years, the amount of times I've heard someone say, wow, there's so many more youth involved than there ever have been. I don't believe that those youth are just coming out of nowhere. They've always been there. It's just really creating those opportunities and those spaces for those youth.
And I think it's really important to note that that has to be done in a kind of genuine capacity as well, because there's been a lot of effort put in by previous governments in the Albertan Métis Nation. But none of it was done genuinely. Like every single year since the 70s, they've had a youth symposium at the AGA, but it was never really designed for the youth. It was kind of just like Mitch had been saying, it was kind of the children are here to be seen, but there was nothing actually done to incorporate the youth, to involve them, to teach them how the political process even works. So then when you try and do it now, because there isn't the history of teaching them, I feel a lot of them feel it's kind of antiquated. And then they don't have the respect for the history of it. It is an antiquated way of doing things, but this is the exact same way we've been doing things since the start of this process. And that's kind of why it's at least important to know this process, even if you do eventually have plans of changing it, making it a better, more functional system.
Yeah, I think for us, some of our biggest accomplishments have been the creation of our youth leadership conference, which we just had our third one, I believe it was, and making plans for our fourth one that will be virtual because of COVID. The creation of that conference that brings together at least 100 or more young people from across the province to do some really youth-led governance work, youth-led cultural development work, and putting young people's voices at the center of that. Another thing is, for 7 years in a row, our General Assembly had more resolutions come from the Youth Council than from any other constituency in the MNO. And so this past year kind of knocked away our record there, but we had 44 resolutions to deal with, so it was kind of a nightmare. But 7 years running, we had the most resolutions coming from us, and they were about all sorts of things. They were about self-government, they were about land claims, they were about not just the kids want a sandbox. It was about we're going to go out there and fight for rights, and we're going to play a role in this, right? The other thing that I'm really proud of personally is that in the 8 years that I've been president, we have not had a vote at our council table. Everything has been done by consensus. So if we don't agree on something, we talk about it until we do, right? We've literally in 8 years we've had some things we've had to have a, on the record motion for funding or the other sorts of things, but everything has been by consensus, right? Which, I can do the, drop down, drag them out, bare knuckle brawl of Métis assemblies. I can do that. And in fact, I kind of get more pleasure from it than a healthy person probably should. But it's so much better when we can avoid that, right? When we can, come together and, share ideas and debate them and discuss them, but then come to agreement, right? And, I think on Brett's point, right, about, there being some sort of some superficial ways of involving youth, right? I won't say who, but there was a well-known Métis leader who I had a conversation with a few years back. And I just put it to them and I said, the reality is in so many ways it seems like you're working really hard to keep us out because you want to preserve your legacy. But that's the biggest threat to the legacy, because if you keep young people out, then when they come in, they'll never have respected what you're doing, right? And they will always remember that you tried to keep them out. Where, if you bring them in, then they may not agree with everything you're doing, but they'll understand that you respect them and that they're part of the process and that you wanted to include them. And in the end, it'll be better for your legacy, right? And it'll ensure that we have this history in Métis politics of as soon as the last guy's gone, we never mention them again, ever. We can't acknowledge they ever existed, right? And, it's because there's this, trying to safeguard legacies, right? But if you bring more people into that and make them part of it, I think then that's a lot healthier, right? I won't say who that conversation was with, but it didn't go anywhere. But, I still believe that. I fundamentally believe that because I've seen other leaders do that, right? I've seen other leaders do that, and it really strengthens the community as a whole.
I was going to say, one of the really cool things that we did in trying to raise that awareness of youth being present at our governing assemblies and our general assemblies and taking part and being involved in it is we actually held a mock youth governing assembly. So our governing assembly in BC is where all of the community presidents come together and we make decisions that then are ratified by our AGM. So we held a mock governance assembly where we had youth from every community in the province sitting in their president's chairs, the microphones with their resolutions ready to present. And we had a chair, we had a clerk, and we had a full-on mock assembly just to raise that awareness and teach people about the processes that take place in Métis Nation British Columbia and how we make those changes. And one really cool outcome of that was right directly following that was all of our community AGMs. And we had two youth from that assembly, or from our mock governance assembly, become elected as vice presidents of their community. And one of them became president of their community. So we had three youth leaders become elected officials in their communities right following that governance assembly, because they learned that they could do it. They had the opportunity, they know how to do it. Just building that confidence and building that awareness, and really seeing some tangible outcomes from that, which was really, really cool.
That's super cool. That's like really successful. That's awesome.
To build on Cassidy's point, that's one thing that we have done recently with our youth council as well, is to encourage more youth participation. Our next resolution that we hoped to be reading at August's AGA was an etiquette one, to try and not necessarily tone down the passion and like the fighting for what you want, but to tone down how vicious certain people can be on that microphone. Because we had brought, we had tried bringing like new youth to every single AGA to try and introduce them to the political system. And so many were just thrown off by like how aggressive it could be. That's one of the small things that we are trying to work on too, to encourage more involvement.
Yeah, it's just interesting because I keep hearing youth don't want to be involved. The youth don't want to be involved. The youth aren't involved. And I want to scream every time I hear it. I'm like, the youth, A, are involved. B, the youth want to be involved. The number of youth that I've met who like so desperately want to be involved, but just either A, are like scared because it's intimidating, or B, just like don't know how. And like, I love that you guys are out there breaking down any like gatekeepers or things that are maybe keeping youth out and being able to bring them in. It's really inspiring to see. And that's like why we wanted to talk to you in the first place, because you guys are the ones who've been on the ground doing that work. And I know like a few of you mentioned that you're kind of coming to the end of your terms and you'll be moving into real adult politics. I don't know what that means, but moving past the youth part of your leadership, I guess. So have you thought about what you would like to see for the youth who are taking over for your positions in the next 10, 20, 50 years? Have you thought about that? Or is that something that I'm sure has crossed your mind at some point?
For the like last 6 months and really coming to the end of my term, that has been definitely on my mind, and how I can take the lessons that I've learned in the last 4 years and pass them on. One of the things that I've heard Mitch say, I've had to say too in our meetings, where youth, they say like, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Like, one of the things is like, we're not dying. We're not going anywhere. We're still going to be around. We're going to be able to support and mentor and lend advice. And we're just a phone call away for those people who are going to be filling our shoes. But like I say, I believe that we've really created the space and awareness for opportunities. But one of the biggest things that I hope continues in the future is that in these last 4 years, we've had an incredible opportunity to build friendships and relationships across the homeland. This podcast being one of them. We've got Mitch from Ontario and Brett from Alberta and me from BC, and we're all working together. We also work with our colleagues, JC in Saskatchewan and Tyler in Manitoba. And we've been doing that for the 4 years that I've been in my position. Mitch was at the assembly where I was sworn in. And from that day, we've been working together. So we, as young Métis leaders, work together regardless of the political nature of what's happening across the Métis Nation homeland with the governing members. So I hope that like once we quote unquote retire from our youth leadership positions, that the young Métis people who fill our positions are going to continue to hold that as a value and really continue that unity. I think if anyone's going to bring the Métis Nation together, it is going to be our young people. And we've already seen evidence of that with our youth councils working together across the homeland.
Yeah, I think, as Cassie says, like, you know, there's been a few different conversations where I feel like I've had to sort of call people out on that a little bit of like, you know, what are we going to do once Mitch isn't here? In a lot of ways, that's just a cop out, right? Like, don't worry, you'll be fine. What I have is a case of I'm going to turn 30. It's not fatal. You know, I'll be all right. I'll be around, you know. And I'm not going to suddenly believe that youth shouldn't be involved, right? Like, you know, don't worry, I'll be here, and, you know, we'll always have each other's back, and that's the way that it is. And, you know, and I'm quite certain I know who's going to replace me, and a very different leadership style, very different. And I think that that is exactly what's needed, because I think that leaders come up in the time that they're needed. And I think that the thing that I have come to understand is that there's no level of certain experience that you have to have. There's no level of a certain education that you have to have. Those things help, whatever, sure. But the biggest thing that you need is you need to be committed to this thing, and you need to be passionate about it, right? Because there's days that it gets hard, right? There's days that, you know, that politics is politics, and it's a dog-eat-dog world sometimes. And, you know, we've been at, Cassidy and I've been in, you know, meetings that went great and meetings that couldn't have went worse, right? There's days that you need to just sort of have the determination and the passion to know why you deal with it, and like why you put up with it, right? And to the ability to see that that's not every day, right? Like, it's the bad days are few and far between, and you can overcome them, right? And I think that those are the biggest things that really are needed, right? Like, I don't think that there's no one skill set that makes you able to be in leadership, right? I think that's dependent on the community and the different time and different place. And I forget who said it, but like there's a handful of people that I hear from, like, oh, the youth aren't involved in our community, and it's all like it's all this like negative. And it's like, well, yeah, but they are in all the other communities. So what? Why? Right? Like, why is that? Right? Like, you need to ask yourself, why don't they want to be involved in what you're doing? Right? So I think that that's an interesting question that we need to deal with sometimes.
Yeah, and for myself, this is kind of my swan song, because I just got voted in as chair, so this is kind of like my last 2 years. But it's already kind of shifting into a more mentorship style position within the council itself. I've lost my voting position, and it's more so trying to guide the other ones and all the new youth who are coming in, and try and teach them where we've come from, the progress that we've made, and at least our current communal goal of where we're trying to get to. And hopefully we can reach that goal before my tenure as chair is over. But if not, I would hope that someone, even if we don't have the same vision, it's like Mitch said, I think it's more important that they're committed and dedicated and passionate than that they agree with me and we have the same opinion. I think that's actually the more important aspect, because like Mitch brought up, I think it's good to have changes in leadership. I think a broad range of opinion is beneficial to everyone.
Yeah, I agree with you guys, definitely, about having the dedication. I feel like that's necessary to be in the positions that you guys are in, with some of the stuff you have to deal with.
All you have to do is care about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then just to kind of piggyback off that conversation, just in case we have some youth who are listening who are like, I want to get involved, but like, I don't feel like I'm totally ready to just like take over the provincial council like you guys, or provisional council like you guys did. What are some ways that you might suggest to youth, small ways that they can start getting involved and start learning and start contributing to our community, I guess to say?
We don't hear that quite as much anymore. And I think it's because we've put infrastructure in place to help young people understand how to get involved, right? Like, we've just made it a little bit easier. And I'll talk about how we did that. But, I remember in the first few years of my first term, I used to hear like, oh, I want to get involved, but I don't want to do politics like you do. And I was like, that's good, because I do it and you don't have to, right? Like, in fact, don't run against me. I'm fine with that, right? You know, that was always my joke, right? And I was like, yeah, we don't need another Mitch, because we already have one, and one is enough. But we need 1,000 other people, right? We don't need another Brett. We don't need another Cassidy. We don't need another Emily. We don't need another Bailey. We need you to do your thing, right? And we need everybody to bring what they bring, right? So what we did, we created this infinite potential strategy, we called it. And we went out, we sought some funding, we got the funding, and we created a series of different like working groups that young people could get involved in. So there's Cassidy might have to help me out, because I always forget what they are, but nation building, education, health and wellness, language and culture, and environment. The fifth, and environment, yes. I don't know. Somebody's going to be mad at me because I forgot something, but that's fine. But so what we did, we created those working groups, and then they, you know, in a totally non-political way, right? They just went about doing, so we've got our bead kits out there. We've got young people that are out there working on land and environment projects and these seed kits that are being developed. And there's all kinds of great things that are happening. We created these wellness kits that went out to everybody at our youth conference. So there's a whole broad range of ways that you can be involved and you can be a part of what we're doing without, you know, you don't have to want to be a politician. You don't have to want to be a, you know, whatever, just, you know, what is it that you have that you can offer and, you know, be part of this bigger thing that we're all part of, right?
Building on that, and one of the great things about being able to work together across our youth councils is that we are actually working on a similar project from the MNOIC, so Infinite Potentials. We talked to them. They said, yeah, take it away, like see what you can do in BC. So we're in the midst of actually launching a very similar project with the same type of working groups so that, like I said, when people are interested in specifically Métis education, they can be a part of this Métis education group. And then what's really great about that is it's going to be linked in with our youth council, similar to the MNOIC, so that we can keep the information flowing from the communities up to the regions, up to the province, and then nationally if need be. And one of the great things too, and how people can be involved in these groups, is that we're in the midst of pitching this project to our senior staff at Métis Nation British Columbia, so that our director of health, our director of education, our director of youth know that these groups exist, because there are so many opportunities that our senior staff know about that they last minute will reach out to us and say, oh my gosh, we need a youth to go to this conference specifically on Métis health. Do you know someone? And I mean, of course I know someone, but at such late notice, it's really hard for our youth to take time off work, take time off school, take time away from their family to go and attend these things. But now that our senior staff know that this initiative exists, they can say, oh, we can go to the youth council, and they can reach out to the health and well-being group, find someone who's going to be really interested, has the knowledge and know-how of what's going on in Métis health for youth in BC, go to this conference. Then they can also come back and share that information with the health group, would go to our youth council, and then up to myself and the provincial. So there's always that flow of information so that we have youth involved in every aspect that we can, but it's not just someone going to a conference, coming back, and then not knowing what to do with knowledge. We're creating those pathways so that the communication gets out to our communities, up to the provincial level. Me, I can present it to our board of directors, and then also bring it to the national level as well.
Yeah, so one thing that like I thought that kind of stuck out when you said like how can youth get involved, because not everybody wants to be on a youth council and be involved in politics. I actually don't think that's the most important part about being Métis, because I do not feel like, you know, the most Métis when I'm at a conference or I'm at a meeting or I'm like doing something like that. Like I definitely feel the most Métis when I'm with my family or like my group of friends or in places like that, right? So like that's how I would say to most people, if you're intimidated by the political aspect of it, reach out to your family first, right? That's a good place to start to get like a little bit of Métis connection, because you can find out a lot of your own history, where you come from, and a lot of cultural knowledge just coming from like, you know, your own aunts and uncles or your own grandparents. And if you're not one of those people who is fortunate enough to have a support structure that is Métis, there is a lot of other communal groups. I don't know how it is for everywhere, but I know here in Southern Alberta, there's a different type of Métis organization in every single small town. Like every single one has its own little small Métis group. Like even towns like Tabor have a youth group, a Métis specific youth group, which is insane. There's only 1,000 people that live there. So I think all these opportunities do exist. I think it's just finding out, it's finding your first connection in and then just keep asking. I think it's don't stop asking the question of how do I know this? Where do I find this? Because eventually you will find it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Brett, just going off of that first bit you talked about there about connecting with your family and when you feel the most Métis, for our final question, we just wanted to ask you all, and we'll start with you, Brett. Why are you proud to be Métis?
I feel odd necessarily saying proud, because it's not like I chose it, right? I feel weird claiming the successes and the victories of the people of, you know, my lineage, because like that's not directly on me. So proud is kind of like an odd way to put it for me, but I am proud because I think my difficulty with this question is I don't have a lot of outside experience other than it, right? Because like I was raised in a very Métis way, right? I've been to every, I have only missed like two assemblies in my entire life, kind of a thing, right? Like I've done to every Métis event. I currently work for a Métis social services agency, right? So it's kind of like asking like a fish what he thinks about the hills. Like I know this Métis world and like it's what I know. It's who I am as a person. It is me. So I guess that's would be like the pride thing about it is me. Like this is who I am. Like this is my life. That would be how I understand the pride question.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. Do the other two have anything to say on the topic or?
Yeah, I think it's, what Brett said about the asking the fish about the hills, it's like asking a fish about water, what water? It's just my reality, right? For me, it's like I've always felt a sense of responsibility for things. I don't know if that's because like I'm the older sibling or what, like having to be responsible for stuff, but like a sense of responsibility to, you know, to be involved, to give back, to be a part of. And when I think about the what are we proud of? I think it's like the collective sense of like, what can we all be proud of? Right. You know, not so much what can I be proud of, but what can we be proud of? Right. And, you know, I think about the things that, you know, in my involvement, the things that I've been involved in one way or another. I started out as a youth rep on the Sault Ste. Marie Métis Council, and I was one of the negotiating team for our self-government agreement. Right. You know, I'm proud of that work, right? I'm proud of what we've accomplished. And I really think that when we hand it over, I think that there is a sense of relief that we've done something that's worthwhile, right? And we've done something that has made a difference in somebody's life, right?
That's amazing work that you did there, the self-government agreement. That blows my mind. Cassidy, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I think similar to what Brett and Mitch have said, it's that it's really that sense of connection that drives me in this work and makes me feel proud to be who I am and what I'm doing. Similar to both Mitch and Brett, I've been involved in my Métis community forever and ever. My family is extremely Métis. I also was a youth representative at the community level. And then when I moved away to university, I was seeking that connection again to the Métis community, in the town that I moved to. And once I found that, and I realized, wow, this exists here too. It's the same type of feeling. I did feel that responsibility to keep that going so that young people will have that forever, that feeling of being connected to your community. And then from there, being connected to our ancestors who fought so hard to get us to where we are today, to give us that feeling of connection and feeling of pride of who we are. And really just fighting to keep that going is what I feel responsible for. And now it's not like a heavy responsibility that sits on my shoulders. It's something that I love doing. I loved my time in this position, and I'm going to continue being involved in every way that I can and continue connecting as long as I can.
Before COVID started, we had the MNO, MNA, MNS self-government conference in Ottawa. And I was joking at that point that I think I had looked it up and I had like 66 days left in my term. And I was, you know, literally counting the days down. And then because of COVID, the chief electoral officer has extended our election date by a month. And I felt like Michael Corleone just when I thought I was out, they pulled me in, right? That's the only way I'm in any way like Michael Corleone. But yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I think that's all the questions we really have for you guys. So we can, I guess, kind of just wrap it up. I really want to thank you all. We appreciate you guys joining us for this so much. This is the second episode we've recorded, so there might have been some technical difficulties getting there, but thanks for holding it down and making it work. It's really cool that in the middle of a global pandemic, when we're all stuck in our homes, we can connect from like opposite sides of the country to have this conversation that hopefully Métis youth who are also stuck in their homes, like, you know, just getting by day by day can listen to and be inspired, because you guys really are all very inspiring people that I look up to, people that I know other Métis youth across the homeland look up to, whether or not they want to follow in your footsteps in the political realm or in a different way. You're inspiring people to get involved and to be proud of who they are. So we really appreciate you guys joining us. And yeah, if there are any final words or anything else you want to say before we sign off.
I'd like to say thank you for you guys putting this together. This is a, you know, it's always a great opportunity. And I like that you guys are really putting in the effort to get content out for Métis youth, because there really isn't a lot out there. So, you know, it's really good that you guys are putting in the effort, and it is appreciated.
Yeah, I think, thank you for this opportunity. Thanks for having us. You know, it's rare for Cassidy and I to pass up an opportunity to talk to people. But I've always been impressed with the M&A and the way that you guys work. And I think that these past couple of years, I've seen a lot of growth in the way that the youth community in Alberta has sort of burst onto the scene and is like kicking ass and taking names. And I like that, and I admire that, and I respect that. And I think, you know, that's one thing that I still, is sort of a regret for me, is that we were at Métis Crossing for the first tri-council meeting, and I sort of was elbowing our chief operating officer, and I was like, you know, they have staff, right? Like, they have a youth, staff, right? Because like, we still were, it's all volunteer stuff, right? Yeah. And, you know, I really admire the way that you guys got that done. And, you know, I give credit also to your staff and your political leadership who didn't fight that, you know, like who got on board and supported that, right? I think that's really cool. And you guys have a lot to be proud of, and it's really great watching what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I want to echo everything that Mitch just said. Truly grateful to be able to be a part of this. And it is funny. I feel like the M&A is actually always the one that is bringing us together to record our stories and record what's happening. And I think that's really incredible, because it's a really great opportunity to reflect on what has happened in the last few years, and to look forward. And yeah, I'm extremely hopeful. I know we have a very bright future. There's a lot of exciting things happening right now. And thanks to the M&A for bringing us all together during this time.
You're so welcome. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, thank you everyone for calling in. We're going to end the episode here. And just a reminder to all the listeners that you can catch us next Monday for our third official episode.
I lost count.
Yeah. Who knows anymore? But yeah, catch us next Métis Monday. Thanks for tuning in.